Thy prayers is heard is the title of our sermon, taken from Acts chapter 10, verses 24 to 35. I find a good definition of prayer given by Hunt and Walker in a series called Disciples' Prayer Life, Walking in Fellowship with God. This is how prayer was defined. Prayer is the fellowship of the highest being in the universe with the highest and noblest of his own creation. There are two parties involved: God, the Almighty God, and man, made in the image of God. The two most connected of God's creation. Prayer is describing that communion. And so this definition also is extended to say that prayer is a joint work, a divine work. Prayer is the divine use of human faculties and the human use of divine faculties. The trade-off, they said, is marvelously unequal. And yet, this is what God exactly wants. Right? Men, feeble men, in communion with the Creator of the great universe. A very mind-boggling perspective. You see, this is a fellowship between God and man that God desires to have with his created being. And man is connected with his Creator, God, through prayer. And prayer is that communion, therefore, with the invisible God. And I would like us to consider that prayer, that man finds his greatest fulfillment and satisfaction in life when he is connected with the source of his life and being through prayer. And God wants us to know him and commune with him and draw strength, draw blessing, draw favor, draw life from him. And you know, it is God who reaches out to man. How can man know his great God who had made him? Well, it is God who reaches out to us. The Bible tells us in John 3:16-20, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth in him, on him, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." But you see, in our text, the man Cornelius, whom God loved and whom God prepared the heart of such a one to seek him, to be connected to the source of his being, We saw in our first message 2 weeks ago how this man was a God-fearer. We saw his piety. We saw his family. We saw his charity. How God prepared a man to receive salvation. And we saw also last week how it was the plan of God to save this Gentile sinner. And we said, no unsavable sinner. There is no one made in the image of God that is too sinful, too lowly, too despicable, too undesirable to be received by God. This is the good news of the gospel. And this is the message of truth that God wants us to bring to men and women suffering in sin, suffering in misery, oftentimes not knowing their misery in being not connected with God. And so Peter was sent to Cornelius, and Cornelius was told to receive God's messenger. And so this message is a visitation meeting that materialized through prayer. And I have this picture for you. If we can take a look. We were helping someone move house this week. And when we were there at the destination point, well, I saw a picture hung there on a piano of the place of Caesarea. And so I said that, you know, we are studying the book of Acts and we were talking about Caesarea. And there we are, a picture of what Caesarea looks like. So if you were to look carefully, you see how beautiful that city was. It was built by Herod over a period of more than 10 years in the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Those of you who have been to Western Europe and the Mediterranean Sea area, you would know how beautiful that place is. And here we are at the seaport, right? And you see here a gathering of many thousands of people. And we also mentioned that this place, Caesarea, was named after Caesar, and that there is a statue of Caesar. Well, it's for us to take a closer look where that statue is, right? But we want us to see that it was an unreached area, and it is the first time that God would send his messenger, Peter, to confirm the faith of this man Cornelius and his family. The gospel is going to reach this coastal town. So as you study the book of Acts, I hope you would feel the excitement as Luke narrates for us the work of the Holy Spirit in guiding men and women in seeing to their salvation. And it's so interesting that this event of that meeting came about by two spiritual encounters. Peter having a vision where God spoke to him to show him that he is to reach out to everyone, even the Gentiles. And God has removed that barrier between Jews and Gentiles through that vision. You remember we said, we saw last week. And also, a vision that was given to Cornelius. He was someone who was seeking God. Right, as we said, the jigsaw puzzle of life just, you know, does not come together for him. And he was seeking, he was finding the solution for life. And God was leading him. And it is important that we see the hand of God orchestrating the work of salvation in the lives of men and women throughout the ages. The living and true God is still working today to save men. And if you be willing to be an instrument for the Lord, you will find that God can use you. And how did God use Peter to save this man? Well, it was during prayer time. The ninth hour, Cornelius was praying and God spoke to him. God came to him. And we want to discuss this meeting with three thoughts for us. Firstly, prayer posture, verses 24 to 27. We want us to consider, as I was looking at the text, how Cornelius received Peter. He prostrated himself before this man. It showed to us how this man desired so much to seek God. And secondly, from verses 28 to 33, prayer's provision. How God has answering the prayer of Cornelius to send Peter to show him the way of salvation. The only way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And from verse 34 to 35, prayer's power, or, well, prayer's reach. Verses 34 to 35. Prayer posture. We left our text with the two men coming to Peter in Joppa, inviting him to visit Cornelius in Caesarea. So, you know, we said that Joppa is 50 kilometers from Caesarea, also by the coast. And Peter made this journey together with the two servants of Cornelius to come to this city for the first time, right, to receive this Gentile family. And this is where we are in verse 24. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Now, this man, in his desire to seek God, does so openly, you know, that he told his friends the desire of his heart, that he wanted to find, to be connected to the living and true God. And he had his kinsmen, his relatives, his family, and his friends, his close friends, with him to witness this meeting. It was significant for him. You know, when we have our baptismal service, those who are baptized, the baptismal candidate, would go and invite their friends, especially their loved ones, to come and witness what God had done in their life. And they would write a testimony to recount the good hand of God saving them. And so we are here in this encounter, verse 24 tells us, with Peter coming to Caesarea and coming to the house of Cornelius. Verse 25 says, Cornelius met him. Wow.
This was a meeting where Cornelius was eagerly awaiting. He couldn't wait any longer. You see, when God prepares a man for salvation, His grace is irresistible. God reaches out to him, and he had that desire within him to seek God. It's so great. His yearning for God, and this is what we are observing here. Cornelius met Peter and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Now, we need to understand that in the Near Eastern cultures, the prostrating of oneself before a king or a superior, it happens. It's a sign of respect. Right? And here, and oftentimes, the one who prostrates himself would do so kissing the feet of the person or the helm of the government or even the ground. So it was a very subservient posture. And I would call it a prayer posture to show us how much this man wants to seek God. You know, when you are in the quiet moments in your closet, how do you seek God? We want us to observe the prayer posture of this man Cornelius. He comes to God in full surrender. Do we come to God in that manner? We placed all on the altar before God, that you are God and you are my God. All that I have comes from you. And this is what we want to observe here, how this man, how much this man desired to seek God. So we want to observe here his attitude, how he was a man whom God had prepared to seek him. And he humbled himself. He understood his lowly position before God. I believe he was reminded of the vision that he saw. You know, if you have seen, if you have encountered God in your life, you are a changed person. Because the life of God, that impact of that meeting with God in your life, will cause you to realize that there is another realm to this three-dimensional physical world that, you know, you only know of. There is that spiritual realm where God reaches out to men. And you see here, in that physical encounter between Cornelius and Peter, a sense of this man's heart. Peter showed forth, I would put it, a poverty of spirit. Remember when Jesus came to share the Christian character in the Beatitudes? He says that the first criteria to seek God is to have a poverty of spirit. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that word blessed there is in the plural. One who comes before God, willing to surrender himself to Him, to know that I don't know how to order my life. Only God knows. And I need Him. I need Him. And I seek Him with all my heart. So this is what we are looking at here. One
writer call it the jewel of poverty. How poor are they that think themselves rich? And how rich are they that think themselves poor? And how this man Cornelius was seeking God. And Jesus said in the Beatitudes also that the one with a poverty of spirit is also one who mourns before God, mourns for his own sins. He knows his own inadequacy. And we must first reach that sense of understanding of our own inadequacy before we can come before God. And this was the picture of a man whom God had prepared to seek to receive him. You see how he approached, or how he approached Peter, the messenger of God. Verse 26 says, "But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself also am a man.'" So Peter is saying to him that, no. Don't worship me. Worship the God that I worship. I'm showing you the way you may find him. But I'm not him. And it's so important that the person who is a messenger for the Lord would have a right perspective of himself, that he is but a messenger. You remember John the baptizer? He says, "Jesus must increase and I must decrease." So Peter here is showing forth to Cornelius the target, the rightful target for his devotion. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. So we want to notice this encounter, how Cornelius approached God, how he did not look at himself, how he emptied himself, and how he sought the Lord. Prayer posture, 24 to 27. And secondly, prayer's provision, 28 to 33. When we would humble ourselves and surrender ourselves to God and plead with him for blessing, he blesses us. God answers prayer. Verse 28. "He said unto them, 'Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean.'" Ah, you see, Peter was so forthright and so honest in his dealing with God. He saw that vision and he could not hide it. This was the will of God. And so you see that a man of God, a godly man, would yield himself, submit to himself to the will of God, as God would show us his will. We are willing to submit ourselves. And here you see Peter. It is not an easy thing. As a Jew, he understood that ritually they cannot have any contact with the Gentiles. And the Word of God says so. And
to enter the house of a Gentile and to, you know, lodge with him is even a more preposterous thing to do. But this was what Peter did, because God has showed him the vision. And you recall we said last week, Jesus declared in his earthly ministry, all food to be clean. Remember? He said, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile a man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And you remember Peter says, not so, Lord, I have not eaten anything that is common and unclean. And the voice said, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. Do not call it unclean when I have cleansed. And Jesus emphasized what this cleansing is all about. That this separation is not physical, but spiritual. Jesus says, are you without understanding? Mark 7:18. Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly. And Jesus said, that which come out of the man, that defileth him. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So you see here in this encounter, God has shown to Peter why he must come, why he must receive Cornelius, why he must preach the gospel to him. Right? That vision was so clear. That message was so clear. So for us today, we don't need a vision for God to tell us that we are to reach out to all with God's love. God has shown it. It was a message that God had made, prepared, written for posterity. This is that message. That we are to take heed, that in our reaching out, we are to reach out to all. And you see here how God was there to bring Cornelius to that point of meeting with God. So Cornelius said in verse 30, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, that's 3 p.m., I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy arms are hid in remembrance in the sight of God. You see, this is an answer to Cornelius' prayer. He has been seeking God, and God has come to visit him. And this is the beginning of life with God for Cornelius. You see, it was dramatic. God met him by that vision. And subsequently, God would begin that life with this man, Cornelius. How they would be connected. and how God would speak to him, or how he would speak to God, whatever he might need, whatever that he might lack in life, God is just a prayer away. When we pray, God answers. And this is God's provision for his people. That when you are connected with God, you are connected with omnipotence. And you remember during our family day, we were studying the names of God, how we can worship God by knowing his person. And one of the names is this phrase, El Shaddai, that God is the Almighty One, that he has great power to help us, whatever the situation would be in our life. And we see this man, Cornelius. You see, it's very interesting that this man living in the city of Caesarea, so affluent, it is the foremost port in that area. A man of means, he's a soldier taking care of 100 soldiers. He is a man of means, he's a man of ability, he's a man that is somewhere in society. People look up to him. He is a man that has power to move things in life. But you see that this man understood that with all his power, he seemed not to have what he truly needs. And there is that lack that is within him that he saw. See, God brings us to understand our need. And you see here, God meeting Cornelius, that dissatisfaction in his soul, that disconnection with his Creator. Now, God is going to patch that. God is going to seal that relationship. He's going to have that direct access to God. And Peter said to Cornelius, "Thy prayer is heard, and thy arms are held in remembrance in the sight of God." What a wonderful testimony of answered prayer. He did not know God, but he was seeking, and God answered him by miraculously sending a man 50 kilometers away to come all the way to that particular house, to him, that particular man, and he was waiting there. And that's how God works. You see, God still has the desire to save men and women today. And as you pray and ask God to save the people around you, be ready to act when God would guide you to do something, to receive a soul. Be equipped with the gospel so that you are ready to do that work, to be God's physical instrument of provision to the people lost around you. And this was what Peter was doing. Prayer's provision. He was God's instrument of righteousness. Remember, the last time prayer was made Acts chapter, I believe it was chapter 4, when he went to the temple, he saw that man who was lame for more than 40 years, and he said to the man, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk." Wow, what a powerful command, statement of truth. When a man is connected with God, God works through human instruments, and this is what God is doing here, using Peter as a provision of answered prayer to this man Cornelius and his family. And many were looking out together to see. Verse 31. "Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I send to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come." You see, when you pray, you see God answering our prayer. How marvelous it is to know that your prayer doesn't go unanswered. When you cry out to God and you see the way Cornelius prostrate himself before God, you know how this man need God, how he was seeking God, and how you see God answering, reaching out to him. Prayers, prayer posture, prayers provision, verse 28 to 33, and prayers power, or prayers reach, verses 34 to 35. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." So God is using Peter to bring salvation to this man through the preaching of the gospel. And you see here that Peter understood the truth, that God is not impartial toward one group of people. You know, he prefer one over another. No. Right? Peter is saying to us, he has understood that lesson, that no man is too unworthy to be saved. No man cannot be reached by God. Anyone who desires to seek him will find him. And this is a truth that Peter has understood. And that's why he had to submit himself to God, to obey the voice of God, to save someone like Cornelius. And being a Roman soldier, a Roman officer, a captain in the Roman army, he is hated by the Jews because they are the people who trample over them by their behavior, by their authority, by their power. But you see here God reaching out. And I'm reminded of that scene when Jacob, because of the famine, came to Egypt. And when he came to Pharaoh, Pharaoh was the greatest man on earth, the greatest authority. Our text tells us that Jacob blessed Pharaoh. It was repeated. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And this is what Peter was doing here. He's coming to bestow special blessing upon this man here. And as God's instruments, this is the privilege that you have before God. God can bring you to be His messenger to anyone. Peter was reaching out to that lame man. Now he was reaching out to that mighty soldier. Prayer's power or prayer's reach. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward." 2 Chronicles 19:17. "Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you." Indeed, this man, Cornelius, was a man that God prepared. And how he was accepted of God. And this word there in verse 35, in the text here, to be accepted, is a word that describes someone who presents a sacrifice in the worship of God in Israel. He brings before him that offering before God, that unblemished offering before God, and how that offering is accepted by God. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was that unblemished lamb that God had prepared to be the acceptable sacrifice for our sins. And here you see Cornelius being shown the way of to God, the way of righteousness. And God had prepared the heart of this man with his fear. The word fear there, as we said earlier in our camp, in our family message, family day message, is the reverence of God. Reverence with a careful reverence. And this man was someone that truly God wanted to save. And it shows us, it gives to us a picture of how God would prepare men for salvation. Thy prayer is heard. Prayer posture, prayer's provision, and prayer's power. God can use you in this coming week or in the year ahead, 2017, to be His instrument of righteousness, to bring a soul to Christ. And you need to be prepared. Peter was prepared, and Cornelius was a man whose heart God prepared. And as we study this text, you would be able to see and understand how God prepares a soul. And when you see one, God will show you what you need to do. May you be willing to be His instrument, to sacrifice a little of your time, your resources, in order that you may reach out to this person. May the Lord be with you. And truly, He answers prayer. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for bringing us this truth, that when we work, we work. But when we pray, indeed God works. And we see thy marvelous hand bringing to fruition the salvation of this man Cornelius. May you too prepare our hearts to be a vessel of righteousness to those that you would bring our way. This I pray, asking for thy blessing upon thy people. In Jesus' name, Amen.